com. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KTWU, Channel 11, local public television, where arts, entertainment, educational, and informational programming is offered daily. Details on the web at ktwu.org. KTWU, Channel 11, local public television.
It's 84 degrees in Topeka, 86 here in Lawrence. It is 83 in Abilene, and the time is 6:06.
NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
KPR listeners are engaged in their communities and they frequent businesses that support public radio. Become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. I have an update of news headlines in just about 12 minutes. In our next half hour, we will learn more about basic income and where Silicon Valley industries fall on that. We will hear more about the rally held in Middletown, Ohio. That is the hometown of the vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance. Also, go to Belize to meet a bat scientist. It's all coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Cisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, becoming mostly clear overnight with lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot with a high in the upper 80s. Lows in the upper 60s tomorrow night, highs in the lower 90s. From Wednesday all the way through next Sunday. So it's going to feel, you know, very much like July. It's 84 degrees in Topeka, 86 in Lawrence, 84 in Manhattan. The time is 6:20.
Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Topeka Zoo and Love Your Zoo Giving Day, July 24th. From tiny toads to big cats, the Topeka Zoo is committed to wildlife conservation. Details at topekazoo.org.
Up next, news headlines. Quick reminder, we had scheduled to air a program. We had planned to air the program called We the Voters. NPR, just a couple of hours ago, notified us they're not going to be airing that. So we will let you know when it's been rescheduled, but the 7 o'clock broadcast of We the Voters has been canceled. You will hear This American Life, as usual, at 7 o'clock on KPR2.
From NPR News, I'm Ari Shapiro.
Across the board on Wall Street, clawing back some of last week's losses with big tech companies leading the way higher. The Dow gained 127 points. Tech-heavy NASDAQ up 1.5%. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is helping to restore 7 miles of the Smoky Hill River in downtown Salina by the end of 2030, 60 years after it diverted the flow away from the city. About $70 million worth of projects are underway, paid for by the Corps, the U.S. Department of Transportation, nonprofit fundraising, and local taxpayers. Martha Tasker with the City of Salina says the river will attract kayakers, bird watchers, and more.
Because it's a place that they can go and hang out with their friends, walk around, feel safe, take their dog, exercise, ride their bicycle, ride their skateboard, because the trails are 10-foot wide trails that are intended for multi-use.
The work includes building fish habitat, wetlands, new bridges, a boardwalk, boat launches, and other amenities. Jackson County, Missouri prosecutor Gene Peters Baker today announced another charge against the man suspected of starting the Super Bowl parade shootings. Peggy Lowe reports.
Baker says 23-year-old Lindell Mays was indicted by a grand jury on a new felony charge for his role in the February 14th shooting at Union Station. It's called causing catastrophe and alleges that Mays knowingly caused death or serious physical injury to 10 or more people when the shooting created a crowd surge and stampede. Prosecutors say Mays was the first to pull a gun. He already faced four felony counts, including second-degree murder, in the fatal shooting of Lisa Lopez Galvan. I'm Peggy Lowe.
Lawrence City Commissioners are considering whether to allow the open carry of alcohol in parts of downtown Lawrence. So far, that idea is just a proposal, but the city is thinking about creating a common consumption area, a designated public area where individuals can openly carry and consume alcohol. The University Daily Canton reports that the idea was discussed at last week's meeting and is still in the early stages of consideration. While the idea is gaining some traction, some commissioners, business owners, and residents have expressed concerns. Lows in the mid-60s tonight, mostly sunny and hot tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s. Lows in the upper 60s tomorrow night, highs in the lower 90s for Wednesday all the way through Sunday of next week. It is 6:35.
Support for NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR station's Morning Edition, coming at you with the latest national, international, and regional news headlines.
When your old car or truck is no longer your favorite place to listen to KPR, consider donating it to Kansas Public Radio. Learn more about our Vehicles for Charity program at kansaspublicradio.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. A little more All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One station, stick around for news headlines, followed by Stardate, followed by Evening Classical with Destiny, all of which is followed at 9 o'clock tonight by the Jazz Scene with David Bassey. If you're joining us on KPR2, we have a program note. We know we had been talking all weekend about this special broadcast from NPR called We the Voters. That has been canceled. Too much happened in the last 48 hours. Everything it said was focused on a contest that is no longer happening. So they canceled it. They just didn't tell us till just, you know, minutes ago, maybe like 300 minutes ago. But anyway, join us for This American Life at 7 o'clock.
This is All Things Considered.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANB and KANB HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Coming up next, news headlines, Stardate, then Evening Classical with Destiny. Would you like to feel as free as a bird that can polka? Well, then stay tuned, because that's the sort of thing Destiny has lined up for us tonight. Some other fiery bird dances as well. All coming right up here on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, featuring fresh prepared foods and drinks and made-from-scratch pastries. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in KCK.
Lows in the mid-60s tonight under mostly clear skies, mostly sunny tomorrow, and warm. Highs in the upper 80s, downright hot. Wednesday through Sunday of next week. It is 7:01. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Paying a visit to the former Biden campaign headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris promised to earn her party's nomination. The visit coming just a day after President Joe Biden announced he's exiting the race, throwing his support behind his vice president and saying he plans to help her win the presidential nomination.
Now we got the name has changed at the top of the ticket, but the mission hasn't changed at all. And by the way, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be out there in the campaign with her, with Kamala. I'm going to be working like hell, both as a sitting president, getting legislation passed, as well as in campaigning.
Harris has received the backing of more than two-thirds of the Democratic delegates she needs to become the party's nominee. She set a new fundraising record in her first 24 hours as a presidential candidate, bringing in more than $80 million. Harris also received the endorsement of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Even as Democrats are coalescing around Vice President Harris's presidential bid, eyes are now on who she could pick as her running mate if she secures the party's nomination. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, a handful of rising stars are being discussed.
Top names include a handful of Democratic governors, like Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, Roy Cooper of North Carolina, and Andy Beshear of Kentucky. All three are fairly popular in their states. For Beshear, he's a Democrat in a Republican stronghold. And Shapiro and Cooper represent key swing states Democrats want to win to keep the White House. These leaders are shying away from the VP discussion for now. Cooper made that clear during an interview with MSNBC, arguing the focus this week should be on Harris.
The vice presidential conversation needs to occur later.
But that conversation has to happen quickly. The party's convention is next month. Elena Moore, NPR News, Washington.
Republican Senator J.D. Vance is promising to go to bat for working people if he's elected vice president alongside GOP nominee Donald Trump. As NPR's Stephen Fowler explains, Vance held his first solo rally in his hometown of Middletown, Ohio today.
Vance graduated from Middletown High 21 years ago and says he hopes the lessons he learned growing up there will help him graduate to vice president. His speech was light on policy, but offered a future-focused vision of an America that would, quote, fight for its workers.
If you work hard and play by the rules, you ought to be able to put a good dinner on the table and send your kids to whatever vacation and whatever school you want to. Work hard and play by the rules, you get a good life. It's that simple.
Vance also baselessly accused Democrats of being anti-democracy after President Biden announced he would not run for re-election. Stephen Fowler, NPR News, Middletown, Ohio.
Stocks gained ground today on Wall Street as investors continued to parse some positive earnings numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 127 points to 40,415 points. The Nasdaq closed up 280 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Capital One, offering their travel card venture. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 22nd.
25 seconds.
When Space Shuttle Columbia headed for orbit 25 years ago tomorrow, it made history. It was the first mission commanded by a woman, Air Force pilot Eileen Collins. And it was carrying the heaviest payload ever lofted by a shuttle. Chandra X-ray Observatory, the largest X-ray telescope ever flown.
5, 4, 3. We have a go for engine start. 0. We have booster ignition and liftoff of Columbia, reaching new heights for women in X-ray astronomy.
And Chandra is maintaining those heights. It's still working. The telescope studies some of the hottest and most energetic objects and events in the universe. Exploding stars, outbursts from normal stars, gas around black holes, and much more. Such objects produce much of their energy in the form of X-rays. But Earth's atmosphere blocks most X-rays, so the only way to study them is from space. Chandra's orbit carries it more than a third of the way to the moon. That puts it outside most of Earth's radiation belts, which can fog X-ray images. X-rays go right through a normal telescope mirror, so Chandra uses a set of mirrors along the sides of the telescope tube. X-rays graze off those mirrors and come to a focus at the telescope's instruments. Chandra is still making history today by keeping a sharp eye on the X-ray sky. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County, in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Val Teufel's Flock of Birds Polka here on KPR for our Monday evening together. This recording featured Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Hey there, I am Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me this evening. It is Monday, which means we are free to make the entire week what we want. Yes, how is that for a note of optimism? So birds reminded me of freedom, and I thought, well, let's play a polka for the fine folks here at KPR. But then I got an even crazier idea. I thought about, ooh, why not feature one bird, like the Firebird? That is coming up in about 8 minutes at around 7:15. That is some great music by Stravinsky. I think you will like it. Right now, I am going to feature a listener request for Craig over at Audio Reader. I love getting requests from all of you, and this one is pretty nice. In honor of all of that hot weather that we had, thank goodness it was nicer recently. This is Jeu d'eau, which has been translated variously to mean water games or playing water or fountains. A little water, something nice and cooling to think about. Let's enjoy it together right now on KPR. This recording features Thibaudet on piano, Ravel's Jeu d'eau.
Thank you.
Ravel's Water Games here on KPR. Tuba Day there at the piano. I hope you liked it. Very nice music indeed. A listener request for Craig. Thank you for that. And also, one of his favorites is something by Dvorak, which also happens to be one of my favorite composers. That is coming up at the end of our hour in about 20 minutes. Before I tell you about a very popular bird coming right up, I would just like to point out that, well, it's that time of year where you say that sound bites and political ads determine elections. On Kansas Public Radio, though, we like to think that you hear more than sound bites. You hear the background and context, thoughtful reporting analysis, and insightful commentary. KPR provides the information you use to decide how to cast your ballot. Go to kansaspublicradio.org to pledge your support for the news that you depend on. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Info at greenladylounge.com. And now for a very popular bird, the firebird. Yes, indeed, by Stravinsky. I'm sure many of you know this rather, well, fiery music. Wow, that was pretty creative, wasn't it? I'll stop talking and let you enjoy the music right now on KPR. This recording features the St. Petersburg Philharmonic. It's also with Vladimir Ashkenazy conducting Stravinsky's Firebird, the Complete Ballet on KPR. Stravinsky's Firebird Suite, the complete ballet here on KPR. Vladimir Ashkenazy conducting the St. Petersburg Philharmonic. Woo! Fiery indeed. That is the perfect word for it, even though it's not very creative since it essentially uses what's in the title. But hey, sometimes these things just work like this. Something that is fun and playful is coming right up. It is Bagatelles by Dvorak. And I looked up the etymology of the word bagatelle. I wanted to know if it had any other meanings. And you know what I found out? It's a game in which small balls are hit and then allowed to roll down a sloping board on which are three holes, each numbered with the score achieved if the ball goes into it. Wow. And there are pins that act as obstructions. Very different than the musical term. Essentially, it is similar to what we would call an impromptu or something with little meaning, they say, something light. However, Dvorak hardly writes music with little meaning. I hear all of the folk elements and lovely soulful melodies that he puts into his writing, and I hope you like it. It is right now on KPR, Dvorak Bagatelles. This recording features the Takash Quartet on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you.
Takash Quartet playing Dvorak's Bagatelles here on KPR. Thanks for being here with me this evening. Classics Live is up next, and I'm back tomorrow with more music on Kansas Public Radio.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Fadel from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Info about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. And the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to the Polsky Theater. This is Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio, a weekly concert featuring the best in live classical music within the KPR listening area. We're at a Rule Joyce recital called Hidden Gems by Women Composers, played by the three accomplished women members of the Navo Trio, violinist Veronique Matu, oboist Margaret Marco, and pianist Ellen Summer. Here they are with the Trio Number 3, by an 18th century Venetian composer and musician named Anna Bonn, who was well known and quite respected in her day. Thank you.
Now we're going to play a selection called Shimmering Sentinels by Annie Guzzo. Annie is a composer, friend, teaches at the University of Wyoming. I've worked with Annie, Margaret and I actually have worked with Annie closely, commissioning a piece of hers before as well for another group. And I've also worked with Annie. She was actually at the University of Kansas in 2019 for the Women in Music Conference, and I played one of her commissions as well. This piece describes, it's a piece about nature, and it describes aspen trees, and it describes how aspen trees have a strong root system that gives it strength, and then the sound of the aspen leaves and how the sound of the wind through those. So you're going to hear that. It's kind of like this tossing back and forth. This is Shimmering Sentinels by Annie Guzzo.
Thank you. Well, thank you again so much for spending some time with us today. It really has been wonderful to perform for you this afternoon. We are now at the end of our program. We have one more piece to play for you by Dorothy Howell, who is a greatly overlooked composer from England. And she is such a prolific composer, and really we hope that her works will get to be known more and more as there is a growing interest to rediscover works written by women composers from the past eras. So the work we're playing is written originally for violin, oboe, and piano, which is not a very common combination of instruments, and this is also why we have been commissioning some composers to write for our trio. So Dorothy was also a great pianist, a concert pianist. She premiered many of her own compositions and performed with orchestras as soloists. So she was a very, very successful musician during her lifetime. And this program you've heard today is for us really an ongoing project. We have many more works by women composers, many commissions underway. So this is really something that we, all three of us, feel really, really deeply about. And we hope that you got to discover some composers today that you were glad to hear and to discover. And we'll be working on a CD this summer. And meanwhile, we have some of our previous CDs available if you wish to take one home at the exit after the concert. So this is Dorothy Howell, Air Variations for Trio.
And I might add, I want to thank Doreen Morunde for all of the work she does to keep this going and all of the behind the scenes. Doreen, thank you. And thank you to you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
by 20th century English composer and pianist Dorothy Howell. That was Dorothy Howell's Air, Variations, and Finale for oboe, violin, and piano from 1949. Reviving the work were oboist Margaret Marco, violinist Veronique Mathieu, and pianist Ellen Summer. Together, the women are known as the Navo Trio, which emerged in 2023 as a subset from the Navo Arts Ensemble, which is internationally recognized musicians who have made their home in Kansas. The Navo Trio and the Navo Arts Chamber Musicians are dedicated to providing excellent free concerts to the public in this area. Thank you for joining us for this Ruel Joyce recital featuring Hidden Gems by Women Composers. For more information, please visit navoarts.com. Chuck Smith, one of KPR's recording engineers, recorded this at the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a KPR recording from the summer of 2021, the Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka, for music by Louise Farrakh. She wrote that in 1849, her nonet for winds and strings in E-flat, here on KPR. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Audio Reader, an audio information service for anyone who has difficulty reading standard print. Grateful for the generous support of all volunteers and donors. More information is at reader.ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on After the Harvest, introducing UP, UPP, or Urban Produce Push, with a goal to provide produce to the people and pantries in every corner of Kansas City. More details and how to help at aftertheharvestkc.org. This is KPR on KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute, and of course through KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Vice President Kamala Harris reportedly now has the delegate support needed to win the Democratic presidential nomination. That's according to the Associated Press. Harris, meanwhile, told her campaign team today that, quote, "It is my intention to go out and earn this nomination and to win." Harris making the visit to Wilmington, Delaware in her first campaign speech since President Biden dropped out of the race over the weekend. She spoke about her vision for the nation.
In this election, we know we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? A country of freedom, compassion, and rule of law, or a country of chaos, fear, and hate?
Before she began her remarks, President Biden called in, his voice on the loudspeaker still hoarse from COVID. The name has changed at the top of the ticket, the president said, but the mission hasn't changed at all. Biden going on to say, quote, "I'm watching you, kid. I love you," as Harris began to speak. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has been mentioned in political circles as a potential pick for Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate. Colin Campbell with member station WUNC reports the swing state's Democratic National Convention delegation voted to recommend Cooper for the role.
More than 100 of North Carolina's delegates to the DNC held a conference call Sunday. They voted unanimously to endorse Harris as the nominee, and they recommended she pick the state's two-term governor for vice president. Party Chairwoman Anderson Clayton says Cooper could boost the ticket in a state that Democrats are trying to win for the first time since 2008. But speaking on MSNBC, the governor said it's premature to talk about who may be selected as Harris's running mate.
I appreciate people talking about me, but I think the focus right now needs to be on her this week.
Cooper has endorsed Harris to be the Democratic nominee. For NPR News, I'm Colin Campbell in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ukrainians are watching and talking about the breaking news from the U.S. As NPR's Polina Litnyovna reports, many believe President Biden's decision to drop out of the election may affect their country.
In a park close to Kyiv city center, Olesa Sushko from Brovary, a town near the capital, says she is discussing the U.S. elections with her husband. We were waiting for Biden to withdraw his candidacy from the election, she says, and we hope for a pro-Ukrainian candidate from the Democrats. Oscar Winter is visiting his mother's family in Ukraine for the first time since Russia's full-scale invasion broke out. He says some of his relatives believe former President Trump is also a good option for their country.
My cousin, who lives in Ukraine, has also a different opinion on Trump. Like, he thinks Trump is better for Ukraine.
Ukrainian political analysts think that no matter who wins the elections, Ukraine anyway will need support from the U.S. Polina Litvinova, NPR News, Kyiv.
The Dow is up 127 points. This is NPR. Hunter Biden dropped a lawsuit against Fox News on the same day as father President Biden withdrew from the race for the White House. NPR's David Folkenflik reports the younger Biden had sued Fox, citing New York State's revenge porn statutes.
Much of the lawsuit centered on salacious images of Hunter Biden taken from his laptop depicting a drug-fueled spree with prostitutes. The images appeared as part of a six-part streaming service called The Trial of Hunter Biden, first aired in 2022 on the streaming service Fox Nation. The series was an imagined staging of the legal charges against him. The president's son was subsequently found guilty on federal charges of felony gun violations and faces an additional trial on tax charges. Fox took the series down earlier this year out of what the network called an abundance of caution after Hunter Biden publicly threatened a suit. Once he had filed that suit, Fox said the legal case was devoid of merit and that it had covered newsworthy events of Hunter Biden's own making. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
It's been a difficult couple of days for the nation's major airlines, many of which found their flights grounded after an update to an antivirus software program caused a huge outage that began Friday, resulting in more than 5,500 Delta cancellations alone. While many of the airlines have recovered, Atlanta-based Delta continues to have difficulties. Delta canceled 700 flights today. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says he spoke to Delta CEO Ed Bastian about the cancellations. Buttigieg says he expects Delta to issue quick refunds and pay for meals and hotels for stranded travelers. Crude oil futures prices fell today. Oil down 35 cents a barrel to $79.78 a barrel. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at Mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Many albums from Dexter Gordon and many others feature the vibraphone of Bobby Hutcherson. I'm David Bassi. On Verve Records, there's an album called Skyline. Bobby Hutcherson up front this time. His album. And this one is called Chan Song. Vibraphonist Bobby Hutcherson. Coming up next, more vibraphone, this time from Joe Locke and his Shiraka release called Beauty Burning. There's Christian McBride, Jerry Allen, and Al Foster joining Bobby Hutcherson for Herbie Hancock's Chan Song. Comes from an album called Skyline on Verve Records, and a beautiful reading of it from one of the masters of the vibraphone. Here's Joe Locke, Beauty Burning, and his Pools of Amber. Thank you.